95 and Psalm 100. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and his place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
As we focus this morning on the thanksgiving that we have in our Lord and Savior and in our Father in heaven, one of the great things that we can count on is his confidence that we have in him being there when we have great need and have great problems in our lives. I've been reading passages from Psalms and Hebrews. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who redeem from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from the east and west, from the north and south, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They included all the little ones, the wives and the sons and the daughters of the whole community, listed in these genealogical records, for they were faithful in consecrating themselves. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
Good morning. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. All right. Turkey making you sleepy does not last until Sunday. You have no excuse. So don't think that you can blame it on the turkey this morning, although I'm going to be brief this morning as we've had a time of scripture reading and prayer. Glad to have you with us. Got visitors. Most are associated with family today, and we're glad that you are with us. Last week, we talked about being thankful. About all the blessings that God gives us. But as we read through the scripture today, I want us to think about another thought that is of extreme importance for us. Because while we should be thankful to God every day for all the ways that he blesses us, as Christians, our hope, our desire, our hearts should not be here, but should be focused on the glory that is to come. And that is really important because if we're not careful, we can become really tied here to this world and the things of this world. Now, do we have to live here? Absolutely. And should we try to make things better while we're here? I think we should. I think God's people always have. I can't imagine what the world would be like without Christian people. Just imagine. You know, just to give us some example, what would we do for medical attention and education? Because almost all of those were started by Christians. Hospitals, schools, even those that now seem very secular, were started by Christian people, making a difference in their community. Think about all the good things that are done, needs that are met in our community by the people of God. We should make a difference. I think it's important that we take the blessings God has given us and use those to the fullest. But we should always remember that this is very temporary. Very temporary. And when I say that, sometimes it's hard for us to imagine. We know that this is temporary, but it's hard to realize how temporary it is because at least from our perspective at this point, from what we can see other than by faith, whatever we got here is all we got, right? It's kind of interesting. We think about animals. And for most of us with animals, whether it be horses or cattle or dogs or cats or parakeets or fish, if we've lived very long, most of us are able to see their whole lifespan, from birth to death, for many of them. And sometimes we'll think about how short that is, right? You think, man, that's pretty short. If they only knew. But from the really the perspective of eternity, for sure, but even the perspective of just world history, our lives are short too, aren't they? In fact, what the scripture will tell us is they're like a mist. They're like a fog that appears for a little while and then it's gone. There's nothing depressing about that. It's not meant to be depressing. It's not meant to make us feel unimportant. It's not meant to make us feel bad. It is to put it in perspective that our life here is very short in comparison to almost everything. It is very short. But what does that mean to us? That we're thankful for the blessings, but what about the troubles that come in this life? They're pretty short, aren't they? They're pretty short. I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, who, as you know, becomes second unto Pharaoh, who provides food not only for Israel, but for all of the people of Egypt, and who really is exalted in a great way in the place and time where he was, much like Daniel in the most important empire of the time. He excels and reaches a point of great respect and great privilege and great comfort. And when we look at Joseph's life, you got to say, Joseph, that's good. That's pretty good, right? Would you agree with that? But it's the same guy that got thrown in a pit and sold as a slave and spent time in prison. And when I say that is, you kind of, when we see the end, we don't think, well, that wasn't all that bad. It didn't last all that long. But I guarantee you, when he was in the pit and in the prison, he was thinking, this isn't good. This isn't fun. Put yourself there. I mean, even knowing it might be temporary and looking back, it wasn't that long. But I guarantee you, when he was there, it was long. It was scary. It was painful. But yet God exalted him. The reason I say that, sometimes as we go through life, we see the struggles and we forget these don't last long in comparison to the blessings that God gives us. But the hope of the Scripture, the confident expectation, because that's really what hope means. It's not I wish things would be better. It's not I know I'm going to die, and so given two likely alternatives, I'll wish for this one. The blessings of God on the return of Jesus are something we should confidently anticipate, knowing they're going to happen. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul says, I'm so confident of what lies ahead that I am torn between living and dying. He's not suicidal. He's not depressed. He's not struggling with that. It is, I know how much better things are going to be, that I don't have a fear of death. I just know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I don't know what's better, to stay or to go. But he says, for your sake and to be about serving God, I stay on. And I'm in God's service because Paul confidently expected. In fact, Paul will say this, I know who I have believed in, and I am confident that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Until the day of his return, to the day of judgment, I am confident in Jesus and who he is and what he's going to do. John sees a new Jerusalem when what we currently know is destroyed, and there's a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and there is the river of life and the tree of life where pain and struggle and sorrow are gone, and the blessings, while they are abundant here, pale in comparison to what God has prepared for us. And so we need to be thankful and expect and anticipate and look forward to the heaven God has prepared for his children. Jesus has gone to prepare a place. And so John in the Revelation has a vision, says this is what we look forward to. Peter looks forward to it. When the temporary things are gone and the permanent things are left, and we are with God forever, and sorrow is gone, and we'll have blessings like we cannot even imagine. Isn't that something? That God who created us, who knows us intimately, will create a place for us really beyond what we can imagine. And that's something we should be thankful for, and we should look forward to. Our vision should be toward God and toward our heavenly home. We should have eternity in our hearts. Eternity in our hearts. We're living in this world, and there are enjoyments here, there are struggles here, and we'll be about serving God and enjoying life while we're here, but with the expectation of greater things to come, knowing this isn't all that there is. And this isn't even what's important. What's important is our relationship with God and what He has prepared for us. That we're going to spend our energy and our time and our expectation on greater things that are coming. That Jesus is going to return and that He's going to take us to be with Him. And that is possible. That is possible. Not because of our goodness, but because the Son of God became the Lamb who shed His blood, who gave his life to pay for our sins so that our hearts might be painted with the blood of the Lamb so that when death comes, it will pass over us and we will inherit eternal life. That's what we need to be thankful for in the greatest of ways. Loving God who sent His Son, our Lord who gave His life, and the promise and the hope and the expectation of a glorious, unending period with the Father. If you're not a Christian today, we'd encourage you to come. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of our elders and this congregation, we would encourage you to come, because without that hope, even the other blessings we have really have very little value, almost none. The great value is in the promise we have of life unending and life without trouble. Life in the perfect place that a loving, all-knowing God has prepared. We'd encourage you to come if you need to this morning while we stand and sing.